This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is 360biz.com. My name is Debohoma40. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. The sun is out there. I mean, it's just shining as well. Some of us are still recovering from December, boss. I know that most people have already opened up at work. Most of us have opened this week, others last week. And more than anything, what can I say? It is 2018. This is actually the second show of the year. As the second show of the year, we're still getting used to things. So now, you know, some of the things, actually the body's still slow in terms of waking up. I don't know, Tseho, have you gotten accustomed to 2018?
Yes. Hi to the listeners. Yes, since the 8th of January.
Yeah.
We've been here.
Is it? Oh, so you've gotten accustomed, so you...
I have, and it's busy, so far, it's so busy, I think I'm ready for 2018.
No, definitely, no, if you're ready for 2018, and then, you know, this is definitely a show that brings you all things business. We bring in regulators, we bring in subject matter expert, we bring in industry champions, that we're discussing all things business on this show. That's why I'm particularly excited about today's guests that we have on the show. If ever you've just tuned in, you are nowhere else but 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. I am still Debohoma40. Bulelane Bal is running late, but he will be coming and joining on the show. I always say business people don't become late, but however, they do become delayed. So this is definitely, if ever you've want to join in on a discussion, you can always follow our YouTube channel. Not YouTube, what am I saying? Social media.
Social media, our Twitter handle
is at CliffCentral.com. And mine is at Debohoma40. Tseho, you are?
At Tseho Mall.
At Tseho Mall. Oh, okay. Now, then you will be able to have a discussion. I'm actually particularly excited about today's discussion. It's actually one of my favorite, building your brand for 2018. We've had people that are setting up goals, others are setting up visions, others are refining some of the goals for 2017, others for 2015. So they didn't achieve, so they're just crossing them over onto the new year. But however, branding is one of the most important aspects of any business, larger or small, retail or B2B. B2B, it is business to business. An effective brand strategy gives you a major edge in increasing competitive markets. But what exactly does branding mean? And how does it affect small businesses? Definitely what we're going to be learning today. Simply put, I mean, your brand is your promise, is your customer. It tells them what they can expect from your product or services, and it differentiates your offering from other competitors. Your brand is derived from who you are and what you want to be and how should people perceive you. That's why, as well, as much as I'm a businessman, there's Debohoma40, the brand, and there's my business, which has its own brand. So those are the discussions that I'm particularly excited about, that obviously some of us have managed to actually distinguish our brand from a very early age, so that obviously we had our own strategy. But right now, I'm glad that with some of the guests, we're going to get into details about that. I mean, your brand strategy is how, what or where and when or whom you plan on communicating with. But I am no expert. I've got experts in the show. That's why this to me means that South Africa as a country is strong in culture and its people. This is how we as a nation have carried our brand. Hence, we've got organizations like Brand South Africa and Brand Proudly SA that always carries the brand of the country. Now, how can we carry this through to everyone, from young people, adults, to those approaching their old age? And how do you build your brand in 2018? Because some of us, for those that are out there looking for jobs, looking for businesses, people buy into you before they buy what you sell. Would you guys agree? No, definitely. Maybe let me know where to waste time. Today we're talking to our branding expert about building your brand for 2018. We have the honor of welcoming our incredible guest in studio. I've got Mr. Jay Badza, who's the founder and head of Onco.
Head honcho, sir.
Oh, head honcho. Yeah, I know. I don't know. Is it French? Is it English? What is it?
Well, a head honcho is just, you know, like a cooler and more youthful name for a CEO.
Okay. Sejo, did you know that a CEO is a head honcho?
We're in branding, so we can't do everything that everybody else does. We
have I like that. You're creating your own trend, eh?
Absolutely.
No, definitely. I mean, it's a boutique brand and marketing communication consultancy company based in Johannesburg. I mean, he's a seasoned communication specialist with over 9 years' experience in the marketing and brand communication industry. We've got my good friend, Beth Malaji, who's an author of the Bootstrappers Lifestyle Hacks. You know, with Beth, Beth has always been reinventing herself. You know, the minute we started having Beth, Beth was having Wealth Magazine. Wealth came here again, and she has these monthly events. Beth, what don't you do? But I'm sure we're gonna definitely get to that. I mean, it's an easy life-saving hacks. It's an easy to read practical handbook or book about business process automation. Her entrepreneurial journey started when she founded Wealth Leather Magazine that she had actually brought on the show before. She is currently the co-founder and editor-in-chief of Tenacity Magazine and has recently took over the role of chapter director at Startup Grind Johannesburg, the largest global independent startup community founded in Silicon Valley. You know, that is definitely my favorite place. And I've got another guest, but this guest I'm going to introduce. Let me maybe take this opportunity to welcome Beth. First, Beth, maybe let me start with you. Now, I can't start with other people. When are you part of the furniture already? Take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, Taboha. And is it Taboha or Taboha?
It's hard, yeah. It's hard.
Okay.
I'm the whole...
Okay, so like you just mentioned, I run Startup Grind Johannesburg, so that is basically what I'm focusing on more than anything else. And then I've recently got into the business of wines. So I have my own wine brand under pretty much my name. It's Rebeth, but Rebeth as in R-E-B-E-T-H. So having said that, I also do help people put together their own wine brands as well. So if, for example, Cliff Central want to have their own wine label, mm-hmm. I can actually help you kickstart and so that people can actually drink your own wine. So that is basically more what I'm being
Beth, now you are from Limpopo, you know?
Yes.
So Limpopoans and wine, never go panaga either.
Oh my God! Please, follow Skaranyacha, as I believe.
No,
okay.
I'm not.
So I've always loved wine, and I've always been very curious as to if somebody wanna start their own wine label, especially if you're a woman and mm-hmm. you're black, and you know such things also do count as well. So you try to find information from people who have been in the industry for long enough, and they don't even give you the relevant information. So what I've done is I did my own research, mm-hmm. and I've connected myself with a lot of wine farms in and around the Western Cape, mm-hmm. tasted a lot of good wines, and I've just decided from there on that, okay, these are the ones that I can associate myself with. And then on my brand, I'm only pushing 6 variants.
Okay.
So having said that as well, with the people that also want to start their own brands, I always encourage them to taste as many different varieties as possible so that they can choose the ones that they actually familiarize and that they actually love. And then from there on, they can decide which ones they want to go with. And yeah, that's just pretty much it. The business itself is very lucrative and it's a long-term thing. And mm-hmm. also for legacy building as well. I come from the publishing background.
Okay.
And I've always wanted to have my own products. Mm-hmm. So when I looked at the business of wine, and I mean, a lot of people respect us in South Africa, especially on the Pinotage, which mm-hmm. is one of the bottles that I bought you today.
Okay.
The grape is the only...
This is the Pinotage.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And I bought the unbranded one just to give you an idea of how... your bottle would look like, say for example, if you want to brand your own wine. So mm-hmm. basically you just do the whole branding of it and then just put a sticker on it, and that's just basically it. So with the Pinotage in South Africa, the grape is only found in South Africa.
Okay.
And a lot of tourists, when they come to South Africa, that's the first wine they want to taste. And those are some of the things that we as South Africans need to own, you know, just to say, okay, you come in here, you
can't
obviously when you go to
Limpopo is teaching us about wine. I'm
obviously
kidding.
when you go to other countries,
yeah.
you wanna eat the food from that country.
That's
you wanna
true.
Taste if you go to Belgium, you would wanna taste the chocolate from Belgium, right? If you go to Italy, you wanna taste their food, obviously, because that is what they're famous for. And interestingly, in South Africa, we are on number 7 of the producers of wine worldwide. So that is also something that we need to be proud of. And it would be great if a lot of South Africans own products that are from South Africa. You know, so that's what interested me in the business.
Yeah. Jay, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
So I'm Jay Badza. I'm the founder and head honcho at Orchard on 25. We're a marketing and branding consultancy, so we help people establish their brands. So the variety of our clients either come with existing brands or they come with non-existent brands, and then we have to put together a go-to-market strategy on how that brand is going to live, how it's going to behave, where it's going to be found, who is it going to be talking to, and what it's going to be serving that consumer.
Yeah, I mean, you are head honcho. I didn't know head honcho, it's CEO. And the next thing, you've got a unique hairstyle. You love uniqueness and creating your own trends, right?
It's part of my brand, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Because you've got to stand out, you know. If you're trying to build a brand, you can't do the same thing that everybody else is doing. You have to come in with a different style, a different look, a different energy that attracts a certain clientele. You know, it could be a niche client, it could be a mass client, but there needs to be something about you that differentiates you from everybody else. So a lot of the work that we do is in the area of communication and public relations, and we all know what a lot of public relations CEOs look like, and I didn't want to look like that because I'm not doing traditional things the way they are, but I'm literally tapping into you know, more youthful, more African insight, and then helping people build their brands.
Give us a quick hint. How do those CEOs look like?
They're in middle age and they wear oversized suits.
Oh, okay. They're in the middle age and they wear oversized suit. No, okay. No. I hear you.
Are you one of them?
Am I?
Are you one of them?
I'm not CEOs. No, I'm not wearing a suit. I'm sure I'm one of the stylish ones if I am.
Yeah, I don't think you also count as middle age anyway.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. I'm gonna move over to. In fact, the reason I wanted to say to save this lady for the end. I don't know, Tsekhor, is it justice for me to introduce her or she introduces herself? You know, because to start with, Runa, we are Tsekhor, I'm Deboho. Okay, Beth doesn't count. Lijay doesn't count because they've got English name. Ne? But at least when you're Malaji and, you know, she's Tracy Levison. The next thing, she's black. And you're thinking her some colored lady or some American is going to get off the car or whatever. Tracy Levison, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
No, I haven't seen you in so many years. Right?
Yes, I know, it's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, just so by the way, I also have roots in Limpopo, so my sister, Tobela.
Oh, okay. So say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, listeners. So my name is Tracy Levison. I'm a corporate and personal branding expert. How did I start to do my business? As you can hear from my name, it's Tracy Levison. Many people are very confused about that. I come from a multicultural background with a lot of roots in different ethnicity groups and different cultures. So my personal branding journey really started when I left law.
You used to do law?
Yes, I came to Johannesburg to study my LLB.
Oh, okay.
I worked for a few law firms, then moved from law to project management.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I really just fell into my purpose because I knew that I always wanted to be my own woman. So that's really for me when this term, which I didn't understand at the time, personal branding, became a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I help people and corporates build their personal brands or their corporate brands.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that branding was a calling. But I guess
business is a calling. So this is one of the business that I'm doing.
What's another one?
One of I'm a serial entrepreneur like yourself. Okay. So I'm in I trade foreign currency and cryptocurrency as well. I also have another online business that we started not so long ago. I have a clothing brand that we are currently rebranding and getting out to the consumers on an international basis. So yeah, there are quite a few things that I'm doing.
Yeah, on the cryptocurrency one, I'm sure you can have that discussion as well with Beth, because Beth is the one person that's in. Are you still into that, Beth?
Yeah, I am kind of, you know what, it's very complicated because I literally gave myself the position that I have in this company.
Okay.
It's called Aziza Coin, and their cryptocurrency backs up startups in South Africa. But like you're saying, that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, no, I think we must have those conversations. Yeah. Your Bitcoin, your cryptocurrency, because that's where they're right now.
Yeah.
The trend is at. And my co-host, Bulelani.
Like Beth, what's our lang? Kitty wine, kitty crypto. I'm kidding. No, it's just I'm offended because the last time we had a conversation with Beth, she was telling us that she's into white men. And
oh yes, my god.
She still is into white men.
No, yeah, guys.
I'm kidding.
Pay for that.
I'm kidding. No, man, I'm happy to be on the show. Happy New Year to everyone. I'm drinking milk. I'm having fun.
Yeah, no, definitely. So maybe I'm coming back to Tracy, and maybe I'll set the pace with you.
Yes.
Right now, you said you are a personal branding specialist or coach. So what is personal branding? Because this is a word that gets thrown around. We just hear people say, I'm a brand this, I'm a brand that. Even those that are unemployed, they're starting a company. So what company is starting? No, I'm going to do branding. It's as if it's so easy, everyone can do it.
So personal branding is really connecting who you are with what you do. So everybody is supposed to have a personal brand. Whether you are that person who's at home, you need to start thinking of yourself as a brand. Whether you're a mother, whether you're CEO of a company, whether you're an employee, whether you're an entrepreneur, you have to think of yourself as a brand. Why is it so important? It's so that you can become more of an authentic person, and so that you can do your business from a more of an authentic space. Many people are in businesses, or let me rather take it a step back. In school, we were not taught to look at ourselves as brands, right? In school, we basically just followed a system. You had to go to school, you learned, you crammed whatever it is that you needed to learn. You wrote your test, and 2 weeks after that, you forgot what it is that you wrote. Mm. After school, you go to university, same system that you are put into, right? But no one has ever taught us to look at ourselves, to do the internal work, and actually look at ourselves as a brand. Like my personal story, I started off studying law because we were told, you know, if you're a lawyer, an accountant, or a doctor, you're going to make good money, right? Then if I hadn't asked myself the questions that I had asked myself, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And 90% of my clients are people who just fell into the trap, fell into the system. And they find themselves asking the questions later on in life, who am I? What is it that I want to do? These are conversations that need to be happening at an early stage that are not happening. It needs to be happening at a school level that is not happening right now. So personal branding is being true to your core values, your mission, and your purpose.
If we're in church, I'll be offering right now.
No, you can still give 10%. Come.
Okay. Let me come to Jay. Jay, Tracy speaks about your brand speaking to your true self, personal values, and the core, you know, of who you are and the likes. You, on the other hand, I understand you are a brand within brands. Yeah? One, you've left DNA Brand Architects. I don't know why. You just vanished, you know? And for that matter...
Man, we got the files.
and for that matter, you built Bonang Matheba's brand. That's, you know? Correct. And in fact, you even said in your show that you are the brains behind Bonang, you know? So maybe tell us why you left first, and you tell us what is it that you did for Bonang.
So, you know, I started my career about 10, 11 years ago in marketing and branding communications. And the one thing that I really wanted to do was to be able to make a difference. So I, you know, worked a little bit in corporate agencies until I met Sylvester Chauke about... Well, we met earlier, but then he started his company about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm.
And I said to him, geez, you know, I'm so tired of, you know, working and reporting to a head office.
How come we've not had Sylvester in the show? I know we've been trying to get him.
Yeah. He's a very busy man, so I guess
okay.
know, he'll make time for you guys.
Yeah, please.
So then I, you know, and I said, geez, I really want to build a career in marketing and branding communications, but really to tell authentic African stories, because I'm so tired of receiving a press release or a piece of advertising from Switzerland or from the USA and being told to just, you know, tailor make it for my local consumer, because it actually doesn't work. So I I could work for a company that will be able to allow me to tell South African stories. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's so amazing, because I'm starting this agency and that sort of thing. And then that's when we started, you know, off together about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been very entrepreneurial in everything that I've done, and I've been an entrepreneur even inside of DNA, you know, just helping to grow the business and that sort of thing. Last year, it dawned on me that I needed to take my entrepreneurial service somewhere else.
Mm.
So I opened Orchardon 25 in order to service the needs of certain clients who couldn't get into an environment like a DNA, but were also not really interested in going with a more traditional agency, because the market was also saying, you know, we need more of you. We need to see more of that creativity, just not being boxed in one organization or one institution. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to have variety, and we want to be able to have choice.
Okay.
So that's what really inspired me to then go off and venture off to at Orchardon 25. And I must say, for me, the most proudest moment, and when people ask me, oh geez, is it tough, how is it, and I say, you know, business is tough. We mustn't glamorize it, like, you know, people always try to fool us and say, oh, it's going to be nice and sweet. And it's really tough.
I'm going to see Bolulani in suits and they're thinking, oh, this thing is easy.
Yeah. So it's really tough and it's really challenging. But, you know, the fact that, you know, I left one chair where I was previously employed, and I've opened 7 chairs where I'm currently employing people, it really helps me feel great and sleep better at night, knowing that I'm making a difference, especially in the lives of young people who are struggling in terms of finding employment and that sort of thing.
Okay,
and
so fast forward, are you coming to the Bonang?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So fast forward to Bonang, you know, when we started DNA, Bonang hosted a few events that we ran. She is professional, she is amazing, she's incredible, and we like to work with the best, so we always worked with her. And people in the industry even started saying, oh geez, you guys like Bonang too much. But we loved the level of delivery that she came with, and the satisfaction of knowing that our clients are going to walk away and they're going to be very happy. And then, you know, after we launched Keeping Up with the Kardashians Season 8, which she hosted on our behalf, she then came to the office and said, guys, I actually have a bright idea. And we're like, oh, okay, let's listen to this bright idea. And then she asked us to manage her. And, you know, like she said in the show, I said, well, in the book, I said to her, well, we actually manage brands. We don't manage personalities.
People.
So if you want to grow as a brand, you're at the right place. But if you just want to be a personality who wants to have their bookings done and their hair appointments sorted, then we're not the right place for you. Because we want to be able to grow you to become a brand that can be consumed by people and that can be in retailers and that can be bought and purchased and exported to people across Africa and the world. So we then started working with her in 2012, and I always say it was a labor of love, because you know, we just, besides the you know, work ethic that we both possessed, we just really, really love each other, and we have got a great chemistry together, and we have got an understanding of how things should be. You know, she has the utmost respect for me, and I respect her equally. So it was never really like that whole thing where, you know, when people are working with personalities, they're like, like to be friends with them, they like to walk the red carpet with them and that sort of thing. It was very clear that Bonang's job was to be in front of the camera or in front of the mic, and my job was to be the engine behind the scenes that makes everything work. And as a result, we then started building all these amazing partnerships with brands and helping her to grow, you know, from the Woolworths lingerie partnership, which, you know, has been around for the last 4 years, Revlon, which has also done for 5 years. And, you know, a lot of these brands were coming into Africa and South Africa for the first time and wanting to work with people. And she was always the first one to be on the cover of, you know, Cosmopolitan magazine as a black woman, and Marie Claire and that sort of thing. And that was the strategy to say, for the next 5 years, how are we going to be able to build the Bonang brand and sell the thing that the people love the most, and ensure that we capitalize on it and we have a strong foundation for a business, so that, you know, you're not just walking the red carpet and being pretty, but you are walking the red carpet and being paid for it. So people want you on the red carpet because they know that she puts so much time and effort. You know, she's gonna go for the dress fitting, she's gonna co-design with the designer, she wants to be best dressed on the red carpet, and brands are now paying her to walk the red carpet because they know that the moment she walks the red carpet, she's going to be on the front cover of every magazine and every newspaper, and that's how they're going to get their mileage back for certain events and engagements. So we really work very hard to ensure that, you know, she continues to connect with the South African audience that she's always loved, the ones that she was with from SABC One and Metro FM, but also grows her brand to become more attractive to you know, the big players and where the money exchanges hands, which is the corporates and the brands and that sort of thing. And we helped her to mold it very nicely that it doesn't come across like it's disjointed, so she can still be able to go and host a Cartier event in one day, and the next day she's on Metro FM speaking to 6.3 million radio listeners at the same time.
Bulelan, Jay is speaking about mileage. I know you're also good in terms of leveraging of mileage as far as brand is concerned.
It's a lie.
No, but it's true. I give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, man.
So maybe, I mean, do you want to add up on
No,
on
I think the, for me it's maybe just focusing on the brand Bonang, because I mean you can't run away from it. It's everywhere. The Metro FM leave, was it a calculated move?
It was a decision that was made based on where her business was going. So she loves radio, and radio is something that she does very naturally, but she gets a lot of international work. So there was quite a lot of inconsistencies around, you know, the fact that sometimes she'll be on radio for 2 days or 3 days and that sort of thing. Then she has to go to New York and, you know, host something, or she has to go to Paris or London, or Australia. Radio was almost, you know, becoming a challenge in terms of her schedule and her international work. And her focus right now is definitely on international work. So her departure from Metro FM then allowed her the opportunity to be able to explore a lot of the international opportunities that have been presented to her. Because when you're on radio, you literally are a 5 days a week type person, and you have to put in your 6 hours because you have to prepare for the show, host the show, get a debrief for it, meet with management and all of that stuff. She couldn't achieve all the things that she wanted to achieve last year if she had remained on radio, because she had a lot. She had an app, she had the emojis, she had the book, she had international endorsements. So it was quite a lot for 1 year.
Yeah, and I mean, is there such a thing as a favorite brand that you have worked on in the stable at DNA?
Is
there such a thing?
There are quite a few. I mean, you know, I got amazing opportunities to launch some really interesting brands in the market. Flying Fish, for once, which was the first time flavored beer actually.
I'm sure you were getting ranked.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that because it was very different. It was very cool. It was very quirky. And it just, you know, helped us to do things a whole lot differently. So, you know, I really loved that. I also launched another alcohol brand called Liberado as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which was also really about people who are authentically themselves, who just are not afraid to look different and to stand out and that sort of thing. And that really spoke to me. I did quite amazing work for Woolworths as well, you know, with Woolworths and Style by SA, working and connecting them with amazing influencers in the country, because Woolworths has always been a very good brand, but it has always been very white and very niche and very whatever. And then they came to us and they said, geez, you know, we want to do Joburg better. How can we, how can you guys help us? And we helped them to build a very solid brand and connected them with some amazing personalities. And finally, I'll probably mention, you know, American Express as well. When we launched their SAA Voyager card, it was one of the most exciting campaigns that I've ever worked on. But yeah, I've got probably hundreds of campaigns under my belt. I can't even remember.
I mean, Beth is another one like you that has been working with brands and stuff. Maybe Beth, when you, maybe let me ask you this: how can you talk to us about how do you relate with different brands or working with different brands as a brand?
Well, first of all, you need to understand the organization that you're working with. Mm-hmm. Like at Startup Grind, I work with close to 13 brands, and all big brands. And I have to make sure that each one of them is happy, each one of them has their goals met, each one of them, they see value in working with us and with me without having to jeopardize anything. And also with the new brands that I bring on board, I have to make sure that it doesn't make the current brands that I'm currently working with feel like they're not doing anything or feel like they're not doing much for me. So I've learned to sort of distinguish between creating value for the brand and also trying to build a consistent relationship with them, because sometimes we kind of relax a lot, especially when you know that, for example, we have Standard Bank as our, they've been our sponsor for quite a long at Startup, for quite a long time at Startup Grind. And we do have other companies that come on board and say, hey guys, we also want to work with you. And you'd find that they're from the same industry. And then now, just because Standard Bank has been with us for longer, we can't be saying, oh, now it's time for us to get somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like something he'd say. Well, guys, our time.
It's up now. As much as they can, I mean, a new company would come in bringing a different or something attractive on the table, but then you shouldn't forget where you come from, you know. So in that case, you need to then go back and say, hey, yes, I understand. We've been in the in a relationship for quite a while now. So there's other people that are looking as well. There's other people that are interested in us. I mean, at the end of the day, if you put yourself out there, you attract other people as well and other brands as well. And if they want to work with you, you have to come to a point where the relationship work better for both of you. And also, don't jump into working with new brands. Like you always, like you hear people always say, rather the devil you know. So if a new brand comes on board, you have to make sure that there is value between the both of you. They're not only getting so much out of you and you're not getting much from them as well. And then just be transparent. Lay everything down on the table and make sure that you don't overpromise, because a lot of times you find people saying, yes, I can do this for you.
They're overpromising and stuff. Deliver.
And then at the end of the day, they don't deliver. And then you wonder why relationships get messed up. And bear in mind that not only do the relationships of you and the brand, not only does the relationship get messed up, but also before I deal with Cliff Central, I deal with Taboho, who is an individual, who is a human being, who I might bump into the other time at another event or something like that. And that's what we need to. She spoke earlier on about. The fact that your brand is also like a representative of you as well. So before there's a company, there's you, and there's that human element that you put into it. And that's what we need to focus on. Don't just say, oh no, I'm working for so and so company, but who's the decision maker? Who's going to make sure that the bills are paid? Who's going to make sure that they say yes if you add on to another, you know, something else onto the table? And that's what we need to nurture first, the relationships that we currently have with the people that we're dealing with.
You know what I find interesting, and I just want you guys to highlight, stemming from, I think, what I just threw in while you were busy talking about would you leave, it's something that you'd probably do, and what you touched on, values. How important is it that when building a brand to focus on values, you know? And these values, do they determine what brands you work on? I don't know. Just give us anyone, any takers.
Yeah, so, you know, it's so important for you to figure out what your personal values are, what your passion is, and what motivates you. Otherwise, you're going to find that you either work for a corporate or company, or you do business as an entrepreneur for a company where your vision, your values are just not aligned. And that is then not going to give you, or rather, it's not going to allow you the ability to create from an authentic space. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do, because you need to know yourself first as a brand, as a person. That is what will determine whether I can work with Debo or not, because I can see his values, his purpose, his vision is ABC, and there is a synergy. Therefore, we can marry and go forward and create something absolutely spectacular, you know. It's very important, to answer your question, it's vitally important. That's why you find many people are in corporate, and that's more the space I am in. Many people are in corporate in jobs that where they are so unhappy because they are not aligned with the company's vision and the company's values. So they are so unhappy because they themselves have not developed, and they can't articulate what their mission statement is, what their value is. Therefore, you end up being very unhappy in whatever space it is that you are working in.
I think for what you said is very important. Do you want to highlight maybe some of the mistakes that people do when they do personal branding?
Definitely.
And Jay would align some of the mistakes that SMEs do when it comes to branding.
Firstly, people don't know where they want to be. They know where they're at, and they're not happy with where they're at, and they don't know where they want to be. And Jay will elaborate, but just like a company knows that they have a vision, they have a value, in 5 or 10 years, this is where they want to be. People don't know that. We just are in a culture where we get up, we go to work, tomorrow we do the same thing again, right? And also, people don't know what the questions are that they need to ask. So whoever you are, if you're out there, you want to develop a strong personal brand, reach out to somebody who can help you so that you can ask the right questions and you can apply those whatever answers it is that you get. And then thirdly, I would say that people don't know how to ask for help. People are just blindly going, you know, about whatever it is that they're doing, and they're not asking for help to help them establish whatever it is that they want to accomplish. So I'd say it's those three things that people need to figure out where they are, where they want to go. People need to reach out to the right people. People need to ask for help from people who are already doing whatever it is that they want to do.
Jay? SMEs.
Yeah, so I think every business has got its DNA. It's got that one thing that makes it special and that makes people come to it, you know. The one big mistake that I think a lot of organizations make is that they're not really clear on what the DNA of their business is. Because clients are very interesting people, you know. They've got certain KPIs and agendas that they want to meet, and they can come into your business and disrupt your flow and your value chain if you are not really aware of what you're offering. Mm-hmm. So we always say, you know, if the Nando's brand is really about satire and humor and that sort of thing, that's what it stands for, and that the space that it works in, that's how it communicates. So people are not shocked when it makes a political statement, because that is part of the DNA of the brand. Mm-hmm. So a lot of SMEs are not really aware of, you know, the importance of doing that. And then the other thing is that, especially with us as black people, we are workers. We love to work. We want to go to work and do what we are good at. And we don't know how to build brands. So we don't focus and spend time on building brands. There are so many successful black entrepreneurs in this country who have done such amazing work, whose businesses have got a turnover of 250 million rand, who you will never know. Mm. And it's not because they're not working. Mm. It's because they don't know how to build brands. And that's when the likes of Gaten McKenzie and Kenny Kunene come through and they become the face of entrepreneurship, and they make it look like it's blingy and it's all of that stuff, and they're the wrong case studies for entrepreneurship, you know, because the guys who are really authentic and really good at business just think that branding and marketing is frivolous. They don't realize that you also have to be able to build a legacy and a name, because people don't buy products, they buy a name. People. You know, the same thing is, you'll find the same pair of shoes at Louis Vuitton in Sandton selling or even inferior to Maria McCloy's pair, but because the Louis Vuitton brand has been built in such an amazing way, you go there and you buy their heritage, and you go there and you buy their history, and you go there to buy the Parisian story. You know, it's because we as black people are actually not really good at building our brands. And that's the one thing that destroys black SMEs and black businesses. Because when you compare it in terms of skill and in terms of competence, we are good. And sometimes we are far much better. There's so much mediocrity, especially in our space, in marketing and advertising. You sit there in lots of rooms where these leading agencies are billing, you know, 200,000 rand a month. And what they're bringing there in terms of value is nothing. You know, they're bringing the whiteness or the name of the founder who was based in the USA, was so famous at the time. So that's what they bring to the table. So we as black people need to work very hard to build our brands, and we mustn't take it for granted, because that's what determines whether we're going to make it or not. And that could also change, even if you're good and you're successful, that could make a difference between your business being a 250 million rand turnover and a 1 billion rand turnover, because when people are coming to buy your brand, they are coming there and they're willing to pay.
Amen.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because when you were speaking, it was going in.
Yeah, no, you resonate with my dad.
No, man, and just from your perspective, Beth, I mean, you know, when you start talking about some of the things that they spoke about now, especially, I mean, I think with regards to brand building, do you find that corporates are, well, most of the corporates are predominantly white-owned or European or whatever, are their marketing departments open to doing business with, I don't know, SMME, partnering their brands with SMMEs, or?
Yes, they are. I'll tell you, what a lot of big brands are looking for is consistency more than anything else. And they, if they work with you, they sort of like want that surety that you can deliver and you are capable of delivering. And now it's getting so messed up because of social media now. So one can come across as a social media celebrity or whatever you call it, and they would say, I've got an X number of followers.
Twelps,
yeah. Yes. They would say, I've got 100 million or whatever. I don't know. I don't have that much followers, so I wouldn't know. Maybe a million followers. Therefore, I can work with you and I can push your brand and all of that. But who are the people that are following you? Are they the type of market that these companies are looking for? Are they a buying market? You know, if you are at a lab and you're saying, I've got a million followers, out of those million followers, how many of them would actually convert into our potential customers?
Conversion.
You know, because you don't just want, it's been said a lot of times, you don't just want likes. You don't just want people, you know, saying, oh my God, I'm so proud of you on social media. At the end of the day, if it's like for me, for, I'll just give an example with me, for example. If I put out, I do monthly events. If I put out an event on social media, as much as I've got a few people following me, but those are the right people. Those are the same people that I know I would see at my next event. Those are the same people that I know if I want something important, they will reply. You know, I don't just, I'm not really fascinated much about the likes, and that is what corporates are looking for. You'd find that somebody who's got over a lot of followers on social media goes to a big company and say, yeah, I will help you push it on social media. But then really, are they actually the target market? And that is how we need to be thinking of how we can actually merge it with conversion, like I said earlier on.
However, I think from my side, you know, I'll beg to differ slightly, but on a very different angle. I do think that corporates and especially the government are really good at lip service when it comes to black SMEs and black entrepreneurs. We have all these restrictions and barriers to government business because government wants to do business with a company that's got a turnover of 50 million rand a year. And as a young entrepreneur who started my organization last year, who self-funded, I do not have that amount of money. The reason why they put up those barriers is because they do not want to pay on time. So they want to give you a 120-day payment period so that if you've got 50 million rand, you can still be able to survive and they will not sink your business. That doesn't really help us, you know, as SMEs, you know. And that doesn't help government communication either because they're giving their business to agencies who we're talking about, you know, prior, who've got nothing to offer, who are not different, who are not quirky, who actually are in the minority in terms of the country's demographics. And they are compromising on quality because they want to go for that kind of clause, which then helps them to not pay on time. And in the end, you know, you look at the way the government communicates to the people and you're just like, who is writing this, you know? I promise you, it's a creative who, you know, is working for a big agency. They probably, you know, got a gap year, went to Australia, came back, and now they are having to deal with H&M EFF disaster, you know what I mean? And they're communicating on behalf of an organization or on behalf of a government. And they just shortchanging themselves, you know. So we need to kick those doors open. You know, we can't keep having ministers of small business who are not adding any value to small business in terms of ensuring that at least, you know, a certain percentage is being procured from young business people in this country because we are the engine that's going to grow the economy and we're the ones with the creativity to understand this, you know, a buzzword around the fourth industrial revolution. You know, we understand technology, we understand cost cutting, we are young, we are agile, we are cheaper, you know, but entities like governments and corporates are stuck, you know, and that's why it becomes very hard to do business with them because they are not, they're disservicing themselves by not opening those doors, you know. And I know there are hundreds and thousands of young entrepreneurs like myself who are there, who are always raising their hands, who are saying, we are ready, you know. And you find out that, you know, we end up, you know, doing business with small other entities because they're the ones who are more willing to listen to us and that sort of thing. And we do great work for them. But if only we had an opportunity to be able to work on national campaigns, you know, you're mentioning proudly South African and Brand South Africa. Who are their agents? Are those agencies black? Are those agents, you know what I mean? Because you are Brand South Africa, but you might be, but your branding is being done by an international agency. So those are the things that, you know, we're always talking about in this space to say, open those doors, man, and let young entrepreneurs get in because we are going to make such a difference. And I promise you, from a pricing perspective, we are much better.
I think we need to ask proudly South Africa.
No.
After the show.
Thank you.
We must ask Mom Happy, who's there.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think we're still going to bring you guys on the show. You guys have got some good insight.
Yeah, the content.
We'll bring you on separate terms and on, you know, separate discussions. You know, but more than anything, let me take this opportunity to thank you for taking your time to come through. You know, I always say when you're having a good time, time always runs out. But more than anything, as we close quickly, where can people get hold of you?
Anyone can get a hold of me by email on tracy@brandunique.co.za. That's spelled brand. Unique is spelled YOUNIQUE. Or people can get me on Instagram, which is brand_unique. Which is YOUNIQUE.
Oh, okay. My brother?
I am available as well on Instagram as jaybadza, JAYBADZA on Instagram, and my email address is j@orchardon25.co.za.
Okay. So, where do we get wine?
kbeth@rebeth.com. That's BETH@REBETH.com. That's my email address. And then I'm Beth Malaji on all social media platforms. So easy.
Okay. Sure. Wow. No, man, I really was enjoying the conversation. Time is a matter. Thank you so much, guys, for coming. Get things done is my thing.
That's right.
No, definitely. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Deboho Mafodi, and we out.
This is CliffCentral.com.